Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be honoring and glorifying to you and edifying to us. Open our eyes that we may see wonderful things about who you are, what you have done, and what you have done in our lives for your glory. In Christ's name, amen. Thankful for Dr. Parkinson. Thank you for Pastor Allen for starting out our conference. Kaninang umaga, it was God glorifying. It was good for my soul. It was very convicting as well. Ngayon naman, we're going to talk about si Pastor, which a lot of us love to talk about. Joke lang. Hopefully in a good way. Napakahalaga na ang mga manggagawa ng Panginoon ay may tamang kaalaman sa salita ng Diyos for Him to equip others to do the work of ministry. Without it, we have nothing to teach God's people. Nothing to fight sin with. Our worship is uninformed and empty. At walang means para tayo lumago sa ating pananampalataya kay Kristo. Kaya helpful para sa atin ang marinig kung gaano kadakila ang kabanalan ng Diyos kaninang umaga sa pamamagitan ni Dr. Parkinson. At helpful din ang paalaala ni Pastor Allen kanina sa kahalagahan sa pag-aaral ng salita ng Diyos. Ito'y mahalagang mga elemento sa paglago natin sa ating kabanalan. Lalo na sa ating mga pastor, elder, o manggagawa. Ngunit, para saan ang mga kaalaman natin sa salita ng Diyos kung hindi ito na-apply? Para saan ang kamanghaan natin sa kabanalan ng Diyos kung hindi naman naaapekto ang ating pamumuhay? Kung tayo'y lumalago sa pangangaral natin ng banal na kasulatan, tayo din ba'y lumalago sa pamumuhay natin ng may kabanalan? Sa mga pastor na nandito, tayo po ay inatasan ni Kristo di lamang magpakain, magprotekta, at magpangalaga ng kanyang mga tupa. Tayo din ay inatasan, kagaya ng nabanggit kanina, upang maging isang ehemplo, upang isang maging halimbawa, an example sa ating pamumuhay. Tulad ng sinabi ni Apostle Paul kay Pastor Timothy sa 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12, set the believers an example in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity. Ito din ang instruction niya sa mga taga-Korinto. Sa chapter 11, verse 1 of 1 Corinthians. Follow my example as I follow Christ. And I hope, mga brother pastors, kapag sinasabi natin yun sa ating mga tupa, sa tupa ng Panginoon Jesus Cristo, dapat may kasunod yun as I follow Christ. Sinabi din niya ito kay Titus sa chapter 2, verse 7. Show yourself in all respects to be a model of good works. And in your teaching, show integrity, dignity. Bilang mga under-shepherds of the chief shepherd, Jesus Christ, we are called to lead in holiness. Let me let that sink in sa atin, mga kaibigan na pastor. We are called to lead in holy living. Now, Pastor Andre will discuss more on what holiness means for God's people. Now, not to steal his thunder, pero ang kabanalan ng isang Kristiyano ay both positional or stative at progressive. Pag sinabing positional or stative, dahil sa relationship na meron tayo kay Christ through faith, in who he is and what he has accomplished in his life, death, and resurrection, nagkaroon tayo ng status of holiness sa harapan ng Diyos. Positionally, sa harapan ng isang banal na Diyos, tayo ay holy in Christ. Wala tayong angkin na kabanalan kung sa ating sarili because we are fallen beings. Kundi dahil kay Kristo, we are holy. We are declared righteous because of Christ. Ngunit, sa ating day-to-day practice, tayo pa din ay nagkakasala. Totoo na ang kapangyarihan ng kasalanan ay nabali na ni Kristo through His redemptive work on the cross. Ngunit ang presensya ng kasalanan na nandito pa rin. Nabanggit po yan sa Romans chapter 6. At patuloy na nandito po yan until Jesus Christ returns. That's why in Romans chapter 8, we groan. We groan sa pagbalik ng Panginoon Hesus Kristo. We long for His return. Why? Because in Revelation chapter 21, it tells us the pagbalik ng Panginoon Hesus Kristo, all of His saints shall sin no more. Don't you long for that day? That your sins will not harm anyone anymore. That the people who you love will not hurt you anymore because of their fallenness. Oh, brothers and sisters, let's long for that Revelation 21 day na pagbalik ng Panginoon Hesus Kristo. But, until then, tayo ay nasa mundong ibabaw. By God's grace, we are to grow in holiness. Kaya din siya progressive. Does that make sense? Tayo ay progressively being transformed sa kabanalan ng Panginoon Hesus Kristo. Kaya ito ang isa sa mga madalas na instructions ni Paul sa mga mini-mentor niyang pastor. Kagaya ng Acts 20, 28, most of these passages are very familiar aside na inaral niyo ito in your personal study. Nabanggit din halos lahat ito ni Pastor Alan kanina, which is good to echo such good truth. Pay careful attention to yourself. He's talking about his life. His life. Ito ang minomodel ni Paul at ng mga manggagawa sa mga taga-Thessaloniki. Sabi sa 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 10. You are witnesses, and God also, how holy and righteous and blameless was our conduct towards you, believers. Kayo mismo nakakita nung kung paano kami namuhay. Binigyan din niya ng warning si Pastor Timothy na huwag masangkot sa kasalanan ng iba. You see that in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 22. Tapos sa 1 Timothy chapter 6, he urges pastors to run away, flee from sin, and pursue holiness. Ang author ng Hebrew warns all pastors, all elders, all under-shepherds na isang araw, tayo ay magiging accountable, tayo ay mananagot sa Panginoon sa kung papaano natin pinangalagaan ang mga tupa niya. And we are to feed them the way Jesus wants them to be fed. Feed my sheep. And there's only one meal, one steady meal na kailangan ipakait sa mga tupa ng Panginoon. That's not grass. It's the living Word of God. So, brother pastors, ang ating mga miyembro ay nakatingin sa atin. Nakatingin sa atin, mga leaders. At ginagaya kung papaano natin isasapamuhay ang salita ng Diyos. Kung papaano tayo lumalakad ng kabanalan. Kaka-pressure ba? Inoobserbahan ka at ako. Alam ko madalas natin ipayo kapag may mga natisod na kapatiran sa church na sasabihin natin kadalasan ng ganito, huwag kang tumingin sa tao. Huwag mong tignan si pastor. Tao lang yan. Tumingin sa Panginoon. Narinig nyo na ba yun? Nagkaroon na ba ng counseling session patungkol doon? Now, hindi ko sinasabing mali yun. Nauunawaan ko kung saan ang gagaling ang mga ganong klaseng payo. And there are some elements to that na may katotohanan. Na ang ating security, ang ating image, ang ating joy ay nasa Panginoon. Because of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Sinecure niyan sa cross, hindi ba? So tama. Ngunit, mga brother pastors, malinaw din sa salita ng Diyos na inatasan sila tumingin sa kanilang mga pastor. Kakagulat ba yan? Kaya huwag niyong i-rebuke. Huwag ka tumingin sa akin. Ay, teka muna. Nasusulat yan. Pamilyar ba kayo ron? Now, kinakabahan ako kung ano yung mga pinapanood at pinapakinggan ninyo. They are charged by God to look at our lives as pastors and elders and under shepherds should be modeling holy living to them. You are in this office so that you would model to Jesus' flock how to live a holy life. How to be a Christian. I'm just wanting you to feel that weight, brother pastor. I'm just wanting you to feel that weight, the brother who is aspiring for eldership. Feel that weight. I usually say this before, but you live in a glass house. Nakatingin sila sa atin. 1 Corinthians 4:16 to 17, sabi sa'yo, nasusulat. 1 Corinthians 4:16 to 17. I urge you, says Paul, then be imitators of me. That is why I sent you Timothy, my beloved and faithful child in the Lord, to remind you of my ways in Christ, as I teach them everywhere in every church. Hindi lang sa Corinthians, sa lahat ng mga churches na tinanim niya at pinaglingkuran niya. Tinuturo niya. Tingnan ninyo mga pastor ninyo. 1 Corinthians 11:1, be imitators of me. Inulit niya ulit, as I am of Christ. Praise God for as I am in Christ. Now, baka naman iniisip na, oh, pastor, ang mga dinidisciple ko sa church, sinusunod ako. Yung pala, ibig sabihin mo sinusunod, pati yung forma mo, yung hairstyle mo, pati yung diet mo. Hindi yun ang pinag-uusapan natin dito. Ang pinag-uusapan natin, ginokopya ba niya ang kabanalan mo na nakita mo kay Kristo? Kasi wala ka naman sarili. Wala akong sariling kabanalan. Now na nakita natin, nasa biyaya ng Panginoon. Philippians 4:9, what you have learned, kanino sa kanya, sa mga elders, and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. Philippians 4:9. 1 Thessalonians 1:6, and you became imitators of us, mga elders, and of the Lord, for you received the word in much affliction. 2 Thessalonians 3:7 to 9, for you yourselves know how you ought to imitate us. Because we were not idle when we were with you, nor did we eat anyone's bread without paying for it. But we toil and labor, we work night and day, that we might not be a burden to anyone. Nagtrabaho kami para hindi kami maging pabigat sa inyo. And we're, ano bang bakit ginawa ni Paul yun? Well, dahil ba na parang hindi sila afford ng churches? Hindi, tingnan yung verse 9. It was not because we do not have the right na ituro yon at tumanggap, but to give you in ourselves an example. So huwag maging pabigat. Huwag maging pabiglat sa iglesia. Brother pastors, ang mga members natin will know about holiness by reading and studying the Bible. But they learn it through flesh and blood examples na minomodel natin sa ating pamumuhay. Anyone can learn theology. Even atheists could. But it is only through, observing their under-shepherds is that they would see an embodiment of how Christ-like living looks like. Kung ano ang itsura ng namumuhay ng may kabanalan. That's why I am saying this is convicting. Hindi ba? Ang masakit pa ho dito, mga brother pastors, kung nakikita na natin ang kasalanan natin sa kanila, pati yung ginaya, sa pamaraan ng pananalita, in making decisions, pamumuhay. Kaya Paul wrote down a list of qualifications ng isang pastor or elder kay Pastor Timothy at Titus at sa mga believers in Ephesus and Crete. Kasi holiness is God's great qualification for an elder. And I'd like to go through this quickly sa ating ngayong hapon na ito, itong qualifications na ito na matatagpuan sa 1 Timothy chapter 3 verses 1 to 7. A similar list na meron din sa Titus chapter 1 verse 6 to 9. Open your Bibles. 1 Timothy 3. 1 to 7. The saying is trustworthy. If anyone aspires to the office of overseer, he desires a noble task. Therefore, an overseer must be above reproach, the husband of one wife, sober-minded, self-controlled, respectable, hospitable, able to teach, not a drunkard, not a violent, but gentle, not quarrelsome, not lover of money. He must manage his household well, with all dignity, keeping his children submissive. For if someone does not know how to manage his own house, how will he care for God's church? He must not be recent convert, or he may be puffed up with conceit and fall into the condemnation of the devil. As we look at this passage ngayong hapon, this primarily addresses ang aking mga minamahal na pastor. Primarily. Sa mga pastors, elders na nandito ngayong hapon na ito, ito ay heart check para sa atin. This is a heart check. To be honest, medyo nahihirapan po ako sa preparation ng message na to. I was wrestling with it. Kasi the more na inaaral ko ang passage na ito, mas naka-highlight ang mga inadequacies ko. Mas nakikita ko yung weaknesses ko. At ang greater need ko sa sustaining and strengthening grace ng ating Panginoon para magpatuloy. Apart from Christ, hindi mo kaya magpatuloy, mga kapatid na pastor. Apart from Christ, you will be very busy doing things na hindi niya ni-recommend. And you can be successful in doing the wrong things. Tulad po ninyo, ako din ay patuloy pa din hinuhubog ng Panginoon. Kaya mga brother pastors, gamitin natin ang oras na ito, i-re-evaluate natin kung papaano tayo mamuhay at maglingkod sa Panginoon. Know that I'm not preaching at you. I'm preaching to all of us. Mga naglilingkod. Mga pastor na nandito na 19 years. Know what I'm saying. Mga pastor na kung saan a few weeks more to come. More wounds to come. I'm not threatening you. It's a promise. It's promised by Jesus. In this world, you will face tribulation, lalo na kung manggagawa ka ng Panginoon. At kung hindi ka pastor, let me back up. I got ahead of myself. Kaya mga brother pastors, gamitin natin ang oras na ito to reevaluate ang ating buhay. At kung hindi ka pastor ngayong oras na ito, marahil iniisip mo kung paano magiging helpful itong aralin na ito. Dapat pala hindi na natin pinuntahan to. Nag-extend na lang ako ng dessert doon sa food court. Kasi puro pang pastor pa lang pag-uusapan dito. Hindi po. Yes and no. Yes, primarily for pastors, but no, this is, again, pastors are called to model, di ba? So whatever is being taught to the pastor, he should live it so that the members would see it. So, sa mga nag-a-aspire maging pastor or elder, kailangan mong itanong sa sarili kung ang mga katangian bang ito ay obvious sa buhay mo. Na oobserbahan ba ito ng mga kapatiran ninyo sa iglesia? Sa mga kalalakihan naman na in general na hindi nag-a-aspire, dapat i-aspire. I-aspire ang mga katangiang ito dahil ito ang marka ng isang mature na Christian. Sa mga kababaihan na nandito, kung ikaw ay may asawa, ipinalangin ninyo ang inyong mga asawa na maging ganito ang katangian nila. Iluhod nyo yan sa Panginoon. Amen, Pastor. Sige pa. Hindi ako nandito para mag-cause ng friction sa mag-asawa. Okay? I'm only here to serve you and hopefully maging helpful sa souls ninyo. Not endanger your marriages. Okay? At kung ikaw naman ay single na babae, ito din ang mga qualities na dapat mong ipanalangin sa isang Christian na lalaki na pakakasalan. Na kung saan e-entertainin sa ligaw. Kung wala sa qualification, kasi unahan na kita, Binibini, walang gwapong part ng requirement dito. Now, hindi ko sinasabing katulad namin mga gwapo na Kristiyan. Bumaba ka na nga dyan, pastor ka. Gusto natin ang ating mga pastor lumalakad ng may kabanalan at katapatan sa Panginoon. Kung hindi, manganganib ang ating iglesia. Kung kayo ay ordinaryong miyembro ng iglesia, ito ang mga katangian na dapat ipanalangin at makita sa mga future pastors ninyo. Mga future elders ninyo, at kung ang mga current pastors or elders ninyo ay nalilihis, pray for them. Don't be quick to pull the trigger by condemning them. Love them. Pray for them. Hold them accountable. Trabaho niyo. Nung nagkaroon ng false teaching sa Galatia, anong sinabi ni Paul? You foolish pastors! You foolish Galatians! Who has bewitched you? Nung may immorality sa Corinth, sinong hinabol niya yung pastor? Hindi. You members, hold your pastors accountable in a loving way. Dahil ang concern ni Paul in giving these characteristics is for the holiness ng mga elders. Ano ba ang mga katangian at uri ng pamumuhay na taglay ng isang pastor? Na masasabi nating lumalakad ng may kabanalan. 2 points lang po. Meron tayo ngayong hapon. At may tigbe-benteng sub-point. So, 40. Number one. Kung kayo ay nagsusulat, ibibigay ko na po. Number one, wala po sa screen. Masyado na malakas ang screen time ninyo. Tama na, makinig na kayo. Number one, although we have not against screen, we love screens. Okay? Number one, katangian ng isang pastor, verses 1 to 3. At number two, ang pamumuhay ng isang pastor. Verses 3, second part ng verse 2, 4 hanggang 7. Number one. Ang mga katangian ng isang pastor. Verse 1, if anyone aspires to the office of overseer, he desires a noble task. Sa New Testament, and nabanggit to kanina ni Pastor Allen, sa New Testament, ang overseer, synonymous term ay bishop, which is episkopos, tapos ang pastor, which is poimen, at ang elder naman, presbyteros, ay mga synonymous terms na ginagamit interchangeably. So ano ibig ko sabihin dito? So during our time together, gagamitin ko yung terms na elder at pastor interchangeably na ang ibig kong sabihin ay parehas lang ang ibig sabihin nun. When I say pastor, I'm saying elder. When I say elder, I'm talking about pastor. Just unanahan ko na kayo. Okay? Ang aspire dito means to reach out for something or to stretch it, to make intentionality and effort. Ang synonymous term dito ng aspire is simply desire. So bakit ko in-stress ito? Kasi hindi napipilitan ang maging pastor. Hindi napipilitan ang maging pastor. At hindi rin ito sapilitan. Kaya siya nagde-desire maging pastor dahil malalim siya, meron siyang malalim na hangarin paglingkuran ang mga anak ng Diyos. Gawin ang trabaho ng isang pastor and to labor hard for it. Hindi niya hinahangad ang office ng pastor para sa kanyang status or title. Let's be honest, there is pride kapag tinawag kang pastor. Especially from us, many of us, including myself before, have a wrong understanding, an unbiblical understanding pag sinabing pastor. Ang pakiramdam natin is malapit kay Jesus at nandito lahat ng members. And just to say na malihubo yun. All of us are redeemed by the blood of Christ. Co-heirs in Christ. Jesus is our elder brother. But the pastors has a special commission to model that commission to others. Naalala ko na may member kami years ago na who desires the office of elder. However, yung desire na yon is for prideful and self-serving reasons. Na ayon sa kanya, ay qualified siya maging elder. Hindi namin siya kinonsider dahil nga sa nabanggit na dahilan, pero he was consistently vocal and persistent about how qualified he was. And I remember, sadly, telling this brother with great concern, "Kapatid, you have a very dangerous desire to be a pastor." Brothers, bakit ka nagde-desire maging pastor? Bakit ka nag-aaspire maging pastor? Pastor, bakit ka nagpapastor ngayon? Do you seek to serve or do you seek the status? Napipilitan ka na lang ba maglingkod kasi wala kang choice? Kasi pastors are men who desire to serve God's people. This is a noble task or a good work. Noble kasi it involves oversight of God's people and the privilege of modeling ang kabanalan ni Kristo sa kanila. So verses 2 to 3, ang dalawang verses na to ay mabigat. Nagbigay ng godly qualification si Paul na dapat obvious na katangian sa isang pastor. Dahil ang gusto ng Panginoon ay godly na pastors o elders. Because holiness is God's primary qualification for elders. Pansinin natin ang verse 2. Above reproach. Now this does not mean sinless perfection. It means ang elder ay dapat blameless o walang kapintasan sa kanyang outward observable conduct, free from scandalous sin. Ang integrity ng isang elder ay dapat unquestionable. Second, sa verse 2 pa rin, sober-minded. An overseer, elder, pastor is sober-minded. Matino o klaro ang kanyang pag-iisip. Ang rendering ng sober-minded sa King James Version is vigilant o mapagbantay. Parang ito larawan ng isang tao na naglalakad sa madaling araw sa kalsada na kung saan siya ay laging handa sa mga posibleng panganib. Vigilant na pwede mangyari sa kanya. Mahalaga ang katangian na ito sa isang elder para sa proteksyon ng iglesia. Ang vigilant elder ay mabilis mapansin ang mga spiritual needs ng church and warns the congregation of any immediate spiritual dangers. Kaya kailangan matalim si pastor. Vigilant. Kaya ingatan nyo kung sino yung pinapapreach nyo sa pulpito nyo, ha? Hindi lahat ng pinapapreach dyan. Sikat lang, pinapreach na natin. You should be vigilant. Verse 2 ulit, self-control. Siya ay prudent at hindi impulsive, sensible, discreet, wise at balanced ang kanyang judgment. Na sa paggawa ng mga weighty decisions such as may maraming mga mabibigat na decisions pagdating po sa life ng church na kailangan harapin ng mga elders. Weighty decisions. And some of them, it will not be popular sa ibang tao. But for the sake of the holiness and the purity of the gospel sa loob ng church, we need to make those hard decisions. Now, kung hindi ho tayo decisive, wala tayong wisdom, impulsive tayo, mahirapan tayo gumawa ng wise decision that would have benefit, good spiritual good sa ating mga members. This also means may ability siya to control his emotions. He controls yung passions niya, and outward actions niya. Ano ibig sabihin na? Hindi siya basta-basta bumibigay sa bugso ng kanyang damdamin. Na-excite lang, nag-decision na. Nalungkot lang, gusto nang sumuko, umalis na ng church. Hindi ganon ang isang elder. How can he lead the church if he doesn't even have full control of himself? Verse 2 ulit. Sabi sa'yo, jump back ang verse 2 eh. It's pregnant with a lot of applications. Respectable men who are orderly, well-mannered, at dignified. Talo naman tayo sa verse 3. Hindi lasenggo. May pastor, hindi ako lasenggo. Ngayong week. Not a drunkard. Hindi siya addicted sa anumang alcoholic beverages or droga. Dahil kung siya ay addicted sa mga ito, magiging clouded ang kanyang judgment and incapable of making sound decisions. Well, pastor, hindi ako addicted sa droga, hindi ako addicted sa alcohol. Saan ka addicted? Kape? Aray. Addicted ka saan? Sa pagkain? Sa tsokolate? Saan ka addicted that can cloud your judgment? Kasi isa lang ang master natin, kapatid. Ang Panginoong Hesukristo. Kaya huwag tayo magmalinis na hindi ako addicted sa alcohol. Kaya binawasan namin ang kape nyo ngayon hapon. Actually, para sa akin yun. Nahalata na ng members. Hindi, joke. Hindi niya din mababantayan at maipagtatanggol mabuti ang doktrine ng iglesia kung siya ay wala sa sarili. Ang mga Greek philosophers daw minsan ina-associate ang lasenggo sa isang violenteng tao. This is prevalent culture sa Ephesus. Kaya part ng qualifications ng isang elder sa verse 3 is not violent, but gentle. He doesn't quickly lose his temper. Hindi siya verbally or physically abusive. Hindi niya pinagbubuhatan ng kamay ang kanyang asawa. Hindi pinagbubuhatan ng kamay. Hindi siya verbally abusive sa kanyang asawa. Hindi siya barumbado sa highway. Minsan, ebidensya na po yan, kaya pa nai-rebuke sa akin aking asawa. Ilan na yung fines niyo? Lalo na, mahal na yung parking natin ngayon. Na-download yun yung app. Kung ang isang mama ay hindi gentle and patient, wala siyang business maging pastor. Bakit po kamo? Kasi kung hindi siya gentle, gusto ko lang ipaalam sa inyo, nangangagat ang mga tupa. Marunong mag-ingay ang mga tupa. Kung hindi tayo gentle and patient, agad-agad siya mawawala ng pasensya sa mga tupa. Maya't maya siya makikipag-away. Which is nabanggit din sa verse 3. Not quarrelsome. Malamang nasa isip ni Paul dito ay ang mga aggressive na false teachers na palaaway o paladibate. Dahil dito, nagbunga ito ng envy, slander, fight sa loob ng iglesia. Yun ang nangyayari sa context na ito. So, ang elder ay hindi palaaway or argumentative na tao. Ang argumentative man, an argumentative man is the worst type of person to have on an elder board. Kasi lahat ng sasabihin niya, critical siya. Lahat ng sasabihin niya, didebatihin ka. Now, I'm not saying there's no room for pushbacks, healthy pushbacks, pero kung ito na lang ang namumutawi sa kanyang mga labi, delikado yung mamang yan. Siya ang tipong tao na kapag hindi nakuha ang paraan niya, he becomes aggressive and violent. Dapat willing siyang mag-submit at magtiwala sa counsel ng ibang mga elders. Kaya nga plurality of elders is very important. Pastor, paano ko malalaman na ganyan yung pastor ko? Buksan mo yung social media mo. Sino ka debate ngayon? Oop, oop, oop. Ano yung pinost kanina? Ano yung kinoment? You can be accountable with him kung mahal niyo siya. Oop, nakita ko ibang pastor nagbaba ng social media ngayon. Tinagal niya yung post niya. No, joke lang, wala akong alam. Not a lover of money. Verse 3. Nagbigay ng warning si Paul sa chapter 6 verse 5 kay Timothy patungkol sa mga kalalakihan who try to use the ministry for financial gain. Sa panahon natin ngayon, marami tayong napapanood sa social media ng mga pastor who use the word of God as a means of financial success. Giving promises of health, wealth, prosperity. Yayamang ka! Gagaling, gagaling. Lahat yan magiging sa iyo. Siksik, liglig, at nag-uumapaw. Basta, may condition, magtanim ka lang. Magtanim ka lang ng financial seed. Mas malaki ang kaloob, mas malaki babalik ang pagpapala. Be careful. Pastor, hindi ko problema ang pagiging lover of money. Praise God. Bakit? Kasi wala kaming pera. Mga kapatid sa Panginoon, a poor man can love money as much as a rich man. May kakilala akong pastor years ago na ang mga pinipili niyang mga elder type of men sa kanyang elder board or pastor board ay mga mayayaman at influential na members ng church niya. Sadly, ito na ang naging kagawian sa pagpili ng kanilang elders. Kung hindi mayaman, kung hindi influential, kung hindi matalino, hindi natin kukunin. Kasi ito ay requirement. Kasi itong mga members na ito ay may influence over the members. Mali! Ang kailangan influence natin sa members natin, yung salita ng Diyos. Ang kailangan nakikita nilang pamumuhay yung sa atin. Which is again, nakakatakot po yun, hindi ba? Kung hindi tayo maingat. Hindi naman sinasabi ni Paul na ang mga may kaya sa buhay o mayayaman ay disqualified sa pagiging elder at dapat maging mahirap lang ang maging elder. Hindi po. Ang point ni Paul dito ay the church needs pastors who don't see their hearts who don't set their hearts on money and material things. He doesn't love material things and use God. He loves God and he uses material things for his glory. Kung mapapansin ninyo, hindi nakapasok sa listahan ng mga katangian ng pastor ang mataas ang IQ, mayaman, influential, malakas ang karisma, magandang lalaki, multi-talented, mataas ang wala sa listahan. Although may mga pastor na may mga ganong katangian, pero hindi yun ang basihan. Bagamat ginagamit ng Panginoon ng mga ganitong klase mga kalalakihan upang paglingkuran siya para sa kanyang kailuluwalhati, ang mga katangian na hinahanap ng isang pastor sa isang pastor ay isang mama na maka-Diyos at lumalakad ng may kabanalan, Christ. Ngayon, tignan naman natin ang pamumuhay ng isang elder, which is yung last part natin na may 20-some points. Ang pamumuhay ng isang pastor. Tingnan naman natin ang duties ng mga elders. Number one, hospitable. Makikita yan sa verse 2. Hospitable. Hospitality tangibly expresses God's love to His people. This gives elders the opportunity to practice, to practically serve and love others. Ito'y kontra sa mga false teachers sa time ni Paul or sa mga prosperity teachers sa time natin na gusto lagi ay mapagsilbihan, gusto lagi na ilibre, gusto lagi na gastusan sila o regaluhan sila. Nangyayari na sa panahon ni Paul, nangyayari rin sa panahon natin ngayon. So, brother pastors, when was the last time you invited a member to your home to serve them a meal? Inviting others into our homes can help cultivate more meaningful, Christ-centered friendships sa mga members natin. Imbitahin nyo. Pastor, kasi jahin lit ng bahay namin eh. Well, you know what? Dapat, of all people, tayo mga Pinoy, we don't care, di ba? So, di tayo sa masisikip. Ang inyong ligod, ang kanyang kami mag-asawa. Nakatira po kami sa very warm na maliit na kwarto before. And no, nasa Redeemer parang kami ng time. And every time na after ng church service, siguro lima-lima ko kami. Sampu na nagsisig, iba nasa sahig. Yung iba na, kasi yung CR malapit lang, nakasandara sa pintuan ng CR. Kumakain kami ng galunggong at munggo. Ano, nagutom na kayo. Contentment na ang issue nyo ngayon. Pero ang point ko dito is this. It doesn't matter kung saan ka nakatira. They want to see ang real pastor namin. Ano ba kinakain mo, pastor? Saan ka ba umuwi? Let them see, brother pastors, na habang kausap ng asawa nyo, yung mga kababaihan na dumalo sa church, naghuhugas ka ng pinggan. Now, hindi ito palabas, okay? Para makita nila na helpful. Hindi ho! Kung hindi ka naghugas ng pinggan, maghugas ka na. May part tayo na sasabihin ko po yon. Pero, hospitality po. So, brother pastors, please, please, serve your members this way. Inviting non-believers sa bahay ninyo for meals gives you opportunity for encouragement, friendship, and evangelism sa hindi mananampalataya. Invite non-Christians sa bahay ninyo. Brother pastors and members, invite them into your homes. Invite them into your life. Elders who are serving this way reflect our servant King, Jesus, who came to this dark, fallen, self-serving, self-entitled world not to be served, but to serve. Oh, brother pastors and friends, Jesus did serve us well when He gave His life on the cross for the sins of many. Jesus lived the perfect life that none of you and I can do. He died the death that we deserved. And on the third day has risen from the grave, who give us hope. Reconciliation, forgiveness, to give you a new life, a new purpose, a new way of life, brother pastors. Now you're living to model for Christ, for His glory. Second, sa verse 2, makikita mo, He teaches faithfully. Pastor Alan devoted a really good time, fruitful time kanina, to talk about this. But I will say a few things about this. Teaching is a significant part ng ministry ng isang pastor or elder. Ito isa sa mga katangian that makes him stand out. He must know his Bible well enough to impart sound teaching and oppose false teachers. Teaching God's Word ay central part sa proclaiming ng gospel at making disciples. Ito'y crucial sa pag-train ng mga young generations of men and women sa church who will herald the gospel. Kaya mga kapatid sa Panginoon, huwag tayo primarily maghanap ng mga pastor o elder na magaling sa oratory skills, o magaling magpatawa, o magaling magkwento, o magaling mag-Ingles, o magandang accent. Huwag natin hanap. Although, may mga pastor na ganun, and praise God for that. Nasa kanya yung whole package. Pero hindi lahat ng pastor ganun. ang tingnan natin ay katapatan ng tinuturo ng isang pastor na pinapamuhay niya.
What the church needs, what you and I need, are men who are able to teach the Bible, able to explain it faithfully, and know how to apply it sa lives ng kanyang mga members when he preaches. Hindi lang intellectual exercise. You take the Bible, explain it well, at ihain mo, pakain mo sa kanila, sa nagugutom na member. Ha, ganito pala ang application nito sa buhay ko.
Sabi nga ng dakilang reformer na si John Calvin, an elder must have wisdom in knowing how to apply God's word to profit of the people.
Elders can do many things that can be profitable para sa church. Pero first and foremost, siya ay isang Bible teacher and exercises the ministry of God's Word in every aspect ng kanyang buhay.
Tingnan niyo ulit ang verse 2.
He leads his family well. Husband of one wife, verse 3, manages his own household well.
Kung si pastor ay isang good shepherd sa kanyang pamilya, malaki ang posibilidad na siya ay magiging wise at good shepherd ng kanyang iglesia. Makikita to kung papaano niya mahalin, arugain, pangalagaan ang mga kaluluwa ng kanyang asawa at anak.
Minomodel din yan, mga brother pastors. Kaya imbitahin ninyo sa bahay niyo para makita nila ito. Hindi para sa palabas. Life on life, ang discipleship, let them see and let you learn from them as well.
Nagbibigay siya ng mga spiritual leadership sa tahanan. He points them to Jesus and helps them grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He leads them with grace and patience.
There was a season sa pastoral ministry po ng inyong lingkod sa Pilipinas years ago na sobrang busy, as in ang church namin noon ay program driven. Maya't maya, wala ako sa bahay. Lagi ako nasa labas. Laging may, and ang masakit po dito, na-enjoy ko. Na-enjoy ko. It's a heart issue. And dahil po dito, nakalimutan ko na yung asawa ko. There was a season sa, and I don't blame my wife by saying this, for saying this. Nung sinabi niya, I feel na yung ministry mo ay mistress. Of course, she was contemplating. She was open sa kanyang nararamdaman sa akin. And I praise God that my wife is not silent. And I praise God na hindi talaga yun ang kanyang tayo. Pero it was a pinprick sa aking heart to remind me na may asawa ka. Yes. Pero yung ministry mo primarily ay sa asawa mo, sa pamilya mo.
Now, bakit po?
Ang godliness sa iglesia ay nagsisimula sa godliness sa pamilya.
Ang discipleship sa iglesia ay nagsisimula din sa discipleship sa pamilya.
He spends meaningful time sa kanyang pamilya. He brings up his children in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. And he loves his wife just as Christ loved the church.
That's why ang ating tahanan ay parang small church. Doon nakabase si Paul. Kasi kung ano man ang ginagawa mo dito sa iyong tahanan, hindi malabo na yung nagagawin mo sa tahanan ng Panginoon. Kasi ang buhay natin ay consistent, di ba?
Para sa mga minamahal, na, minamahal kong pastor, isang paalaala ulit. Love your wives. Amen, wives?
O kung mong bilis sumagot yung iba. Counseling ang lalabas na ito.
Bira lang po, bira lang po. Nagpa-amen kasi ako. Nagpa-amen ako. Hindi niya kasalanan yung Brad.
Okay. Dahil dyan, wala nang sasagot sa akin pag nagtanong.
Para sa mga minamahal kong pastor, mahalin ninyo ang inyong mga asawa. And this is a message for me. Mahalin ko rin ang asawa ko.
Paano, anong basihan? Tulad ng pag, hindi yun na napapanood natin sa mga sa Netflix na pagmamahalan.
Hindi po, ang pagmamahalan ng basihan ng isang pastor ay yung pag-ibig na nakita niya kay Kristo sa Ephesians chapter 5. That Christ gave His life to His bride. A sacrificial type of love. He died for His bride. And brother pastors, you and I need to die para sa ating mga asawa. If it means die to our flesh, die to our aspirations. So I'm not saying if she is in sin, mag-give in tayo, hindi po yun ang sinasabi ko. Ang sinasabi ng sacrificial type, the Ephesians chapter 5, is a love that is willing to mimic yung love ni Christ sa kanyang church. Ako po ay full-time na pastor. At may mga seasons sa ministry na napaka-busy. Now, alam ko na karamihan po sa inyo rito ay naglilingkod na bilang pastor ay mga bivocational pastors. Meaning, meron kayong full-time na vocational job or secular job at the same time nagpapastor kayo ng church. Most probably, mas busy kayo sa akin. And I do pray for you, brothers, kasi hindi madali. May trabaho kang pang secular at may naglilingkod ka rin bilang pastor. Hindi ho madali yan. Hindi madali yan. At kung hindi tayo mag-iingat, mani-neglect natin ang ating asawa. I encourage you sa oras na ito, allow me to share at least quick 10 ways to love and honor your wives. Uy, may mga lagabas.
Wife, ako magsusulat. Dapat sa tablets ng heart mo. Number one. Protect your wife. You are the heart protector of your wife, pastors and husbands. Protect her from others. Protect her from verbal abuse. Protect her from physical abuse. Protect her from sexual abuse. Brother pastors, husbands, protect her from yourself. Sa mga abusive tendencies natin. Neglectful tendencies natin. Second, provide for your wife. Honor your wife by providing for her. You would see that in 1 Timothy 5:8. Provide, provide, provide. Third, date your wife. Pag walang nangyari, walang application, sabi ni Mrs. Pag walang nangyari ngayong araw to, walang application. Sabado ngayon. But listen, date your wife, quality time, physical intimacy. 1 Corinthians 7. Read that, meditate on that. Fourth, develop your wife, encourage your wife to grow. Help her understand Scripture. Help her to grow in Christ. Sometimes we assume, since si Mrs. naman, mas maraming alam kasi sa Bible, hindi na ako mag-lead sa area na ito. Close to home? Pero ang point ho is this, you are called to lead her spiritually. Don't slack off. Regardless kung mas marami siyang alam, you are called to lead. Fifth, be devoted, committed to your wife. Siya lang ang love of your life. Six, gawin mong kaibigan ang iyong asawa. Wala ka ng ibang best friend kung hindi ang asawa mo. Yung mga anak mo, eh, ako yung best friend ko, hindi lalaki yan, magkakasawa, iiwan ka ang mga anak mo. And praise God, na kung saan magkakaroon silang sariling buhay, pero maiiwan kayo. Ngayon pa lang mag-invest na kayo sa time ninyo. And I'm not talking about financially. I'm talking about spiritual, relational investments. Kasi darating ang panahon kung attention ninyo ay nasa mga bata. Kaya lang kayo magkasama dahil sa mga bata. Lalaki ang mga bata na yan. Kukunin ng Panginoon yung mga bata na yan. At sino may iiwan sa bahay? Sino may iiwan? Kayong dalawa. At kung hindi nyo pinagbubutihan ang paglago ng inyong relasyon sa Panginoon at sa bawat isa, magiging malamig ang inyong flat. Hindi dahil sa AC ninyo, kung hindi sa relasyon ninyo. 7. Serve your wife. Serve your wife. Ito na, maghugas ka ng pinggan. Ito na, ayusin nyo naman yung kama nyo. Maglaba ka naman. I'm serious.
And I know I'm using this out of context, but Jesus washed his disciples' feet. That's a picture of serving. Be like Jesus to your wife. Kulayan mo yung buhok niya. Shampooin mo. Whatever yung sa tingin mo that your wife would consider, I'm being loved. Or maybe sometimes it's just listening to her. Giving her the attention that she deserves. Or, brother pastors, baka kailangan na ng sabbatical. Kailangan na siguro na magpahinga para bigyan ng tuon o ng pansin ang life mo, ang life ng asawa mo at ng inyong mga anak. Huwag natin gawing dahilan ang ministry kaya tayo walang panahon sa ating mga pamilya. Ika nga sinabi ni Dr. Parkinson, parang oxymoron po yun. Parang taliwas. Diba? If you love Jesus, if you love Jesus' bride, the church, it should show on how you love your family. I've spoken to many pastors in my life, and there are some ang sinasabi, ang dahilan kung bakit hindi ako successful sa ministry, it's because hadlang ang asawa ko sa ministry. Ayaw mag-evangelize kasama ko. Ayaw magsumama sa akin pag may mga nagbibisitation ako. Ayaw ko pakisamaan. Kaya siya ang aking thorn in the flesh. Ay, ingat po tayo. Hindi po siya thorn in the flesh. Hindi. She is a helpmate. Genesis chapter 1. A helpmate does not mean a helper in Hebrew. It means complementing someone's weakness. You need your wives. Di ba napansin nyo sila ang sharp na memory? They help you, di ba? They have a lot of strength. So love your wife. I'm gonna end right there. Disciple your wife, which is number 8. Number 9, humingi, and this is where it gets really deep. Humingi ka na ng tawad sa asawa mo. It's time to ask forgiveness sa nagawa mong pagkakamali na you try to brush off every time pinag-uusapan, na alam mong tama siya. And brother pastors and husbands, forgive your wives. It's time. Forgive them. Huwag mong paghawakan yan. Hindi makakristo yung ginagawa mong yan. You have enjoyed and savored the sweetness of God's forgiveness through Christ. And ikaw, ayaw mo magpatawad? Tawarin mo na ang asawa mo. Show her gospel love. That Christ died for His people even though while they were in sin. Number 10, lead your wife. Set the direction ng life ninyo. Don't lead a direction that will harm her or cause her to sin. I'm about to end. Number 4. Verse 6. Balik tayo sa ating passage. Verse 6. He exemplifies maturity. Isang pastor. Hindi siya bagong Christian, a young believer, ay hindi pa ready mag-oversee ng church kasi wala pa siyang ganong karanasan sa mga trials of spiritual life. Okay? Kailangan po siya subukin pa. As sabi sa 1 Timothy 5:22. Be careful, brother pastors, to lay hands. Do not be hasty to lay hands on young men na bata sa pananampalataya. Now, bakit sinabi hasty of laying hands? Because that's commissioning them, ordaining them for the gospel ministry para maging pastor. Hindi pa tested ang kanyang faith. We're not even sure kung siya yung Matthew 7. Na many shall come in my name saying, Lord, Lord, have I not preached in your name cast out demons? And Jesus said, I do not know you. Depart from me. Ano ibig sabihin nun? If Jesus says, I do not know you, it's not because He does not know. When He says to people, I do not know you, that means I do not have an intimate relationship with you. Mabigat to, ha? Huwag niyo malitin yung Matthew 7 yan. Bakit ka mo? Prophesied in your name. Cast out demons. Kung gusto nyo na basehan ng tunay na Kristiyano, tunay na manggagawa ng Panginoon, mga ganun klase, yun! Napapalayas ng demonyo. Pero sinabi ni Jesus Christ, hindi kita anak. Hindi kita anak.
be careful to put someone to be in the pastorate office kung hindi pa siya tested. Kaya mga brother pastors na nag-aspire, you need to be tested muna. Huwag ka magmadali. Okay? If nagmamadali ka, then probably there is a heart issue. You want authority. You want power. You want title. Hindi, pastor, nakikita ko yung need. Then praise God. Let God feed His people through other means. Pero kung hindi ka pa ready, don't. And your pastors are saying, hindi ka pa ready, don't. Huwag madaliin mag-ordain ng elder. Hindi siya masyado concern, hindi masyadong concern ang Bible sa biological age of an elder. Pero mas concern ang Bible sa spiritual maturity ng isang mananampalataya. Kung gaano siya ka-mature in the faith. Kasi kung magmamadali tayo maglagay ng elder na hindi pa gaano mature or tested, he will fall sa condemnation ng devil. Pride, mga kaibigan, mga pastor, pride ang temptation ng mga bagong Christians. Pride. Kaya kung ilalagay natin sila agad sa leadership, they might fall sa trap ng kaaway. Verse 7, he has a good reputation sa mga mananampalataya. May narinig akong kwento na may isang church daw sa US na kapag meron silang mga lalaki na i-recommend for eldership, ipapalagay daw yung pictures nila sa local newspaper. Tapos ito yung nakalagay. If you know anything about these men, that would disqualify them for being a pastor of a church, contact us. Aba, mabigat. Pastor, isipin mo, ilalagay mo yung pangalan mo sa College Times. Ito, naka-up to sa eldership namin. Kung kayo ay may pagdududa sa mamang ito, kontakin nyo kami. Pero, grabe, di ba? Friends, what would people say about you kung igagawin natin yun? Okay? Or ipost namin ito sa mga Facebook walls ninyo. This is Dante. He is a Christian. If you know him, please write a comment and describe how he's exemplifying Christ-likeness. Siguro, Papa, i-deactivate mo yung Facebook mo pag ganun. We should be holy, set apart sa sistema, pag-iisip at pamumuhay ng kamunduhan. Brother pastors, let us watch our life and doctrine. Ingatan po natin ang witness natin sa mga tagalabas, mga hindi mananampalataya. Tingnan niyo sinabi ni Paul, so that he may not fall into a disgrace in the snare of the devil. If the church makes poor choices sa pagpili ng kanilang mga elders, there is always a danger na kanilang there's always a danger na silang haharapin. Mga brother pastors, tulad ng sinabi ko, ang mga members natin will know about holiness by reading and studying the Bible, pero they learn about holiness as they observe our lives. This is a reminder sa atin that we should pursue holiness. How are we to pursue holiness? Well, number one, prayer and Bible reading. Walang magic formula po dito. Prayer and Bible reading. Bilang mga pastor, we must have a daily, humble reliance sa Panginoon. Tayo ay araw-araw nakikidigmaan sa kasalanan, nakikipagdigmaan sa kaaway. We need God's mercy, we need God's grace every day. That we need Him. Na He promised that is new every morning. Pray. Pray, brother pastors, pray. Hindi natin kaya to apart from Christ. Kailangan natin isaturate din ang ating mga sarili sa salita ng Diyos. Sabi sa Psalm 119 verse 9, how can a man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word. Saturate yourself with scripture. Remind yourselves daily with the gospel. You need God's word, kapatid. Kung hindi mo na i-enjoy ang personal study, devotional mo, sa personal time mo, you got nothing to offer your family. You have nothing to teach sa church ninyo if you yourself are not investing on God's Word. Second, first, prayer and Bible reader. Second, have a greater desire for God.
have a greater desire for God. A desire na mas higit pa sa mga desires mo sa buhay na ito. Kasi malalaman na ng ating mga members na higit na mahal natin ang Panginoon above all else. Makikita po nila yan eh. At mangyayari ito, how do we have a great desire for God? Which is yung sinabi ni Pastor Allen kanina. By knowing God more. Know God more. Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 3, sa kanyang final instructions kay Timothy, bago siya binitay, pinapadala niya kay Timothy ang kanyang balabal at kanyang mga libro at mga parchments. Some scholars believe na mga parchments ay mga ilan sa mga kanyang mga sinulat na original epistles. At ang mga books naman daw ay mga Old Testament writings. Now, kung iisipin natin, si Apostle Paul na nagsulat na halos sa kalahati ng New Testament towards the end of his life, gusto pa din magbasa. Gusto pa din mag-aral. Gusto pa din magsulat. He never wants to stop learning from God's Word. Isang malaking rebuke sa atin to, mga brother pastors. Isang malaking hamon po ito. Sa panahon natin ngayon, bukod sa mayroon tayong complete copy ng canon ng scripture na wala si Paul nung time na ito, may access tayo lahat sa napakaraming healthy resources to learn more about who God is and what He has done. From hard book copies to digital ones, we are not lacking in our age to increase our knowledge about God. I am just echoing ang sinabi ni Brother Allen kanina. Brother pastors, we need to read more and spend less time scrolling in social media, following reels. We need to know God better. This is galing ito kay D.A. Carson sa kanyang libro, A Call to Spiritual Reformation. And I quote, "We need to know God better. We think rather little of what He is like, what He expects of us, what He seeks in us. We are not captured by His holiness and His love. His thoughts and words capture too little of our imagination, too little of our discourse, too few of our priorities." Similar observation ang binigay ni J.I. Packer sa kanyang libro na Knowing God. "The Christian's instinct of trust and worship are stimulated very powerfully by the knowledge of the greatness of God. But this is knowledge which Christians today largely lack. And that this one reason why our faith is so feeble and our worship so flabby. We are modern people. And modern people, though they cherish great thoughts about themselves, have, as a rule, small thoughts about God. That's why we gave you books for free. Praise God sa mga partners. More! Bili pa kayo! Build your library! Contact us sa Theology Matters. Kaya sinabi ni Brother Allen kanina, please mag-enroll kayo sa GTS and few subjects. My foundation year is coming. This would be good for your soul. Crossroads also is opening up a pastoral internship starting September where we choose a few pastors dito sa Dubai or sa UAE, invest on them by studying together and allowing them to sit sa aming elders meetings, allowing them to sit in our members meeting and observe and discuss. We're going to focus about ecclesiology, we're going to talk about preaching, and it will be a fun time of just learning God together in the context of a local church. We're not saying our church has reached perfection. Oh, God knows na hindi. It's only by the grace of God that we are able to move. But if you are interested, dyan po dyan sa last page ng inyong bulletin, nandyan po may information, you can send an email. If you're interested, we'll send you a form, we will have an interview, and this starts in September. We will provide your resources. Nandito, GMC is here to help us with resources. Isn't that right, Don? Hear that? Yes daw. Ang Tagalog nun. Oo. So tutulong sila sa mga libre niyong libro. So if you are interested, join us as we link arms and learn God's Word, learning more about Him in the context of the local church. Third and last. Ito na yung last. Promise. Surround yourself with godly people who will be accountable to you. Kung paglalabanan natin ang kasalanan, kailangan natin ng mga tao who will brutally be honest sa atin. brutally honest. Mga tao na hindi magaganda lang ang sasabihin sa mga tao na madalas tayong bola, hindi natin kailangan yun. Kaya sinabi ni Dr. Parkinson kanina, flattery, we don't need that. It's not good for your soul. It just magnifies yung pinalalaki lang ang ulo mo. We need people who will ask us awkward questions. People who love us so much that they will boldly have intentional, intrusive, yet edifying conversations. Sabi nga ni Paul Tip, we need to live humble, honest, intrusive, and intentional community with one another where personal ministry that goes both ways is part of the daily culture. There are a lot of people that pwede kayo maging accountable. Let me mention only two. Brother pastors, number one, be accountable sa wife mo. Be accountable sa wife mo. Ang rule ng aking wife, pag ako ay pupunta ng CR, bawal dala yung phone. Now, di dahil na may nahuli siya sa akin, hindi yun yung issue, but kung hindi, she is protecting my heart. Is there anything that you need to confess to your wife? What part ng life mo ang hindi mo pa ino-open sa asawa mo? Kung meron tayong kasalanan, brother pastors, we heard it earlier. Theologians, great preachers, known speakers, champions of the gospel had fallen. Why? Because they thought na okay lang isikreto. Kasi I'm doing a lot of good naman sa ministry. Don't buy to that lie. Second, be accountable sa mga elders niya sa church. I praise God for our elders who are bold, who are loving, who will sometimes be on to me if meron silang nakikita sa buhay ko. You need men. You need those type of men na nakasurround sa paligid mo. I'm glad that we do not have yes pastors or yes men. We have men who love God's word, who wants to help their pastor walk in holiness. You need these people. Brother pastors, kung meron ka sinisekretong kasalanan ngayon, don't think na hindi humalalabas yan. It will come out. Hindi man sa panahon na ito, pagkaharap na natin ng final judge, books will be opened. And lahat ng mga ginawa natin, karumaldumal, kahindik-hindik, ay sasabihin sa harapan ng lahat. Brother pastors, let me leave you with Ephesians 5:11. Take no part in unfruitful works of darkness, but instead, expose them. Can I be bold by saying this? Maybe, just maybe, hindi ka dapat nagpapastor ngayon sa lifestyle mo. Maybe, just maybe, matagal ka na dapat in-excommunicate ng church mo sa tinatago mong kasalanan na yan. Brother pastors, we live in an honor-shame culture, mga Pinoy, kasi nakakahiya. Okay lang, come out clean. Confess. Sin, if you don't kill, it will kill you. Okay lang na magkaroon ng kapahiyaan dito kaysa pahiyain ka ng anak ng Diyos sa harapan ng kanyang ama. He's saying, hindi ko anak yan dahil nagpatuloy sa kasalanan yan. I never knew you. This is weighty. This is important. Pero don't keep it in the dark. Mabubulok yan and you will be known. Learn from David. You are that man. My brother pastors, ikaw ba ay nasa kasagsagan ng kasalanan ngayon? Repent. Mga brother pastors, huwag po natin ipagsantabi ang mga pangangailangan natin sa personal holiness. Meron tayong holy calling. God has called us to His holy to serve His holy bride, not for our own glory, but for His glory. Father, we come to You with broken hearts and with crushed spirits. We are reminded of how holy You are and how fallen we are. Maraming salamat sa grace ng Panginoong Jesucristo. Because Him, we have life. We have forgiveness. We have reconciliation. I pray for my brother pastors. Would you protect them from the evil one? Help them to pursue, Father, by your grace, holiness, righteousness, and purity. I pray for the aspiring pastors, Lord, that they would take your word to heart. Help them to be tested. Help them, Lord, to persevere. Give them a deep heart for your word and deep heart for your people if you are leading them to serve as an elder. I pray for brothers and sisters who are here who have probably been hurt by fallen pastors. Pray, Father, that remind them that you yourself have forgiven them. You have given them grace, mercy, patience. I pray that would overflow sa mga pastors who have fallen na na-offend sila. That they would learn to forgive their pastors, to pray for them and to love them, or their former pastors. Help us to have a church culture that will be praying for the pastors, loving the pastors, preserving the purity and holiness of the gospel in our churches. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.